Because Gene Kelly, he exuded perfection. He exuded professionalism. And everyone around him knew, dang, if I gotta be on set with him, I gotta go 10 times harder. That's what I wanna represent. Don't even come around me if you can't even match me.
Speak Your Success Podcast.
Welcome, successors, to the Speak Your Success Podcast. I'm here today with a special guest in the studio. Oh, man, I'm excited for this interview, man. I'm excited for this interview. I had the opportunity to meet this gentleman some time ago. We'll get into that. I'm not even sure when we met. But recently, we've been getting better acquainted. We've definitely been getting better acquainted recently. But today in the studio, we have a special guest. He goes by the name of J. Will.
Indeed.
A.K.A. Joshua Wilson.
Yeah.
super producer.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. Actor.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Award-winning podcaster.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm going to say it one more time. Award-winning podcaster.
Yeah, I like that one. I like the ring to that.
Yeah, it does sound good. I ain't mad at it either. It does sound good. Man, all well-deserved. And, man, the list goes on and on and on. It definitely goes on and on. But J. Will, man, what's going on?
Man, it's been an interesting day, storming, as everyone probably knows. So just dealing with that. But other than that, it's been a great day, man. I'm glad to be here with you. We talked about doing this, so I'm glad we're getting it done.
Yeah, man, I'm definitely glad we're getting it done, too. I know you hit me up. You're like, hey, man, what's up? And I was like, J. Will, man, I'm trying to get it right, J. Will. I'm trying to get it right. I can't just bring you on here half-stepping. So I was like, I'm trying to get it right, man. So, man, J. Will, man, I want to go ahead and just hop into it. What makes J. Will tick?
Whew. Are we talking about just what motivates me, what moves me?
Yeah. We'll go what motivates you.
That's an interesting question. There you going right off the bat with some good ones. I've never been asked that before. I would say what makes me tick is a search for happiness. Every day, especially now that I'm older, I used to not fully understand what that meant, what happiness really meant. I used to kind of run off of what I thought was necessary. But as of late, I would say what makes me tick is a search for happiness. And that means I typically only do things that, bring me happiness, bring me joy, and things that I genuinely want to do and be a part of. So a search for happiness.
Man, I can appreciate that, because I know when we're kids, right, it's the smallest thing that will make us happy.
Yeah.
I mean, we can find a box. We can hop in a box and then slide down the stairs. I used to do that with my brother when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And now we get older, and then we get, like, bogged down sometimes by responsibility.
Yeah.
But now, hearing you say that, I definitely can appreciate it, because I think we do have a choice to choose happiness.
Oh, 100%.
But sometimes I think we choose to be bitter, and then we want to complain about it.
We either choose bitterness, or we choose the things that we think people, not people, things that we think we're supposed to be doing, as opposed to things that we want to be doing. I think it was Charlamagne that said a long time ago, he was saying, majority of the people trying to be rappers don't actually want to be rappers.
Ooh.
They're just trying to look cool. They're trying to feel more important than they actually are. Instead of taking that time, the time they're spending in the studio is time that could be spent finding what their actual purpose is. But they're trying to please other people and look cool to other people. And I 100% agree with that.
Wow. I mean, you saying that makes me think back to middle school, where everybody said they were once a rapper.
Yeah. No, like, I used to even rap. Like, yeah. And then I realized a long time ago that's not where I needed to be.
By the way, I'm still looking for that. I'm still looking for that track. I know you said
podcast.
I know you said that one was out there.
If the Lord allows, no one will ever find it.
Oh, my goodness.
But just a disclaimer. I wasn't a bad rapper. I even, when I graduated high school, I got to go on tour with Juvenile.
Come on, man. What?
And so I wasn't a bad rapper. What my problem was, you get me in a studio. I mean, you get me on a stage, I would kill it. You get me in a cypher, I would kill it. You get me in a studio, I don't know. I could never put it together. I could never figure out who I was as an artist, what I was trying to represent, making music, like actually making music, not just rapping. I just couldn't put it together for some reason. So I learned at some point that rapping just wasn't for me.
Man, I think you really just said something right there, Jay. And just thinking about how many people are out there, and you know, they hop into a particular lane because, like you said, they think that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then while they're in this lane, then they're just grabbing. Oh, I'm gonna rap like Kendrick. Oh, I'm gonna rap like Wale. I'm gonna rap like Nipsey. Like, these people are just throwing out these names, and they want to do these different things because they never spent that time to cultivate what they think that gift is.
Yeah, because a lot of people look for instant gratification. And at one point in time, not necessarily anymore, but at one point in time, saying that you rapped gave you instant gratification. People instantly were like, oh, you must be cool then, or oh, you must be good. Now, everybody and their mom, you can rap on your phone. Like, there's apps on your phone where you can record music literally by rapping into it. So rapping isn't the cool thing anymore. Now it's podcasting. Now, if you say you have a podcast, people are like, oh, okay, tell me more. And there's a lot of people podcasting who actually don't want to do it. They're just trying to get attention. Not throwing slugs or anything. But I'm just saying, these are people whose time could be better spent figuring out what they actually want to do, how they actually could benefit not only themselves, but the world possibly. But they're trying to look cool by having a microphone in front of them.
Man. Oh, goodness. Hold on. So if you was on tour with Juvenile, man, what's up? Like, what made you put the mic down?
Because I had to get in the studio and nothing ever sounded right. Nothing. Like, imagine being in the studio for years. Because I maybe finished my whole time rapping. I rapped from when I was 16 to 21.
Okay.
Imagine for 5 years, you only have 3 songs you feel sound good enough to put out.
You got to put the mic down.
You know, and it takes a big person to figure. A lot of people aren't self-aware. A lot of people don't pay attention to the things that maybe it's the universe telling you or God telling you, this isn't where you're supposed to be. Or sometimes God will put people in your life that are telling you, this isn't where you're supposed to be. And a lot of people take that as, oh, they hating on me. Or they just telling me that I can't do nothing. Nah, that's... I learned very quick. I'm actually really good at knowing very quickly what I can and can't do. I learned very early on, band wasn't for me. I learned very on, choir wasn't for me. I learned very on, very early on, sports wasn't for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't the coach hating on me because he said that I can't get on the field. It was like the universe telling me, nah, this ain't where you're supposed to be.
This ain't the place. So when did you come to that level of self-awareness? Because you're talking about self-awareness, and I think that's great, because being self-aware is something that we all have to come into if we want to be our best self in the lane or in the area that we're meant to be our best at. When would you say you became so self-aware?
I would say in high school. I attribute a lot of things positive in my life to my mother. But she was harsh on me, man.
Okay.
She was very hard on me when it was necessary. So I wanted to try out for the basketball team. And my mom sat me down and said, you know you're not going to get on the basketball team, right? And I sit there and I said to her, why would you say that? She said, you realize we've had a basketball goal in our backyard for 10 years, and I never see you out there shooting shots. I never see you out there practicing drills. I never see you dribbling a basketball. And you're sitting here telling me that you're going to get on the basketball team? That's not how this works. So a lot of people would take that a negative way. Yeah. I took that as, wow, so the things that I don't really put effort into are probably things that I shouldn't even be trying to be a part of. You know, and I think that would help a lot of people with figuring out their purpose is if you actually don't put effort and energy and time into perfecting something, it's probably not something you really care about. And now I kind of go through life with that mind state. If there's something that I genuinely don't put time, effort, and energy into, then it's not something I should be a part of.
What does Jay Will care about?
Man, I care about media. I've been a media personality for 8 years now. You know, started with my radio show, Live from the Underground, and then now with Don't Take It Personal. I care about acting. I care about filmmaking. I care about writing. All these things, I would say I put a lot of time, energy, effort, sweat, blood, and tears, and money into. sometimes that I don't even have, you know, but it's something that drives me day to day. If I'm not doing these things, I kind of feel useless. And so I guess that's another thing that kind of makes me tick, is feeling like I'm useful. That kind of drives me. Is I think what everybody should do is try to find something, find a way for you to be useful. Because honestly, in this world, if you're not useful, then people tend to like push you to the side. If you're at a job and you're not useful, they're not going to have you come back tomorrow.
Yeah, there's no point.
If you're in a relationship and you're not bringing something to the relationship, you're just there. That person is going to find someone better for them
eventually.
Yeah. Every aspect of life, you have to be useful. It's necessary,
man. And I mean, even with that, like, I really like how you put that, because just understanding that if you're not in your purpose, I almost feel like you should feel useless to a certain extent, because then that should motivate an individual, or that should inspire an individual to say, well, how can I be useful? And then by doing that, then you're solving a problem, but ultimately you're contributing something to society.
Yes.
And then when you contribute something to society, it's for the greater good. Well, I would hope it's for the greater good.
You would hope so, yeah.
Yeah, you I mean, because people contribute stuff into society all day, every day, all around us, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to necessarily benefit others long term.
Very true.
So, yeah, okay. Okay, so, you threw out the P word, so I'm going to ask you, would you say you know or had identified what your purpose is at this point?
Man, good. You're on it, man.
You dropping it, man.
honestly, man, my purpose is, I would say, I'm trying to word it because I've never really get asked this, so I haven't thought about this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we're going deep today. I would say my purpose is service. In multiple different ways. I'll explain. But overall, the overall arching umbrella of what my purpose is service. I feel as though, I'll give you an example. You met me years ago. At one point in time, I used to manage an artist. It wasn't until I met that artist that I put the microphone down myself, because I saw something in him. I saw that he would be able to take it further than I ever could. Ooh. And so all he needed was somebody behind him to help him get to that place. So I put my ambitions, I put all of these things that I thought I wanted to decide to help service him. I think another aspect in service, I think there's a lot of information that people don't have about not only the industry, but how the world works. And so a lot of times I speak with a lot of people who are younger than me, or people who are just getting in the industry who don't have a lot of knowledge. And I do what I can to service them by allowing them to understand how things work, how things operate, what I've learned in my time being in the entertainment industry. So service in that aspect, I would say service as a part of acting and filmmaking. There's a lot of things in the acting in the film industry that a lot of people aren't tackling, like as far as ways of putting movies out, ways of storytelling that I have ideas on that I feel could be very beneficial in service to the world and to people who enjoy entertainment as a whole. So I would just say, and not only that, but service as far as inspiration to people as well. I'm from a small town called Big Spring. I always shout them out.
Yeah, you do.
a lot of people don't leave Big Spring.
Wow.
A lot of people look at me and are inspired in some type of way by just me trying every day to accomplish something. A lot of people are inspired by that. So service in the sense of giving inspiration to people. And then servicing the world, because I would like to get to a place where I could use my name and my notoriety to help others, whether it's community service, whether it's, helping the less fortunate. I have so many ideas and ways that I would like to help the world once I get to a place where I could actually be beneficial. So I would say my purpose overall is service. You know, and if you believe in God, you know, there's a lot of things that are in God, that are in the Bible, that teach you about doing what you can to help others. And I think that's something I've always been very headstrong about wanting to accomplish someday.
Yeah, man, that's super real. I applaud that. And what you talking about service, I can't help but just to think of the analogy almost of planting seeds.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times with service, man, you don't harvest that crop, or you don't harvest that fruit, or you don't yield that return in the same season. But just you talking about service really makes me think of you playing the long game in life, and with planting seeds, when people are out there, you know, throwing the seeds, throwing them as they go up and down the rows, they're not guaranteed that all of them are going to yield a return.
True, very true.
And you might not even see the return.
True. I can say a lot of things in my life that I've put energy into, and it yielded no return. So,
man,
it doesn't. I mean, but it just kind of comes with the territory, you know. If you remember what you're doing everything for, nothing can really knock you off your path. Mm-hmm. There's really no way of knocking me off the path that I'm going on. Knock on wood, like, I could lose a leg tomorrow, I'm still going to get up, prop myself up, and keep doing what I'm doing.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the only thing that could stop me from trying to accomplish what I want to accomplish in life is death. And even then, who knows? You
know? Oh, we're going to come like Chris Rock from Down
There. Yeah, who knows? I might find some other way to make it happen in the universe, in the heaven or something.
You're going
to
be the sixth man around here.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying.
man, okay, so
I love that movie, by the way. Man, a lot of people don't know about that movie. Bruh, that's my joint.
That movie, and then I can't remember, the name of the song is called Deeper Than Blood.
Mm-hmm.
That song there, every time I hear it, it messes me up.
Yeah.
You can't find it on iTunes. I had to go on YouTube and listen to that messed up version.
Old 90s black movies, man, had a bunch of dope songs that you can't find anywhere. So, because I've looked.
Man, but okay. So now I want. He said he looked. So now I want you to talk about, like, just mindset, because you said a lot of people don't make it out of Big Spring, but you just sat here and just said that you're gonna make it.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about? Like, how did you get to that point?
You know what I think it is. My parents got divorced when I was two. And my father moved to the DFW area when I was 9. And every year from that moment, I would come. Before I moved here, I would come here every summer to visit him. And so every year, I had the opportunity to get out of my environment and see something more. So it led me to know. It helped me realize that life is much bigger than where we are. And a lot of people don't get that opportunity, whether it's Big Spring or any other small town in the world. A lot of people never leave that town. A lot of people never go on a vacation. I was also blessed enough to have a family that we could go to family vacations every summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was able to get out and see California or Atlanta or all over Texas or even Oklahoma, you know, or New Mexico. I've been able to get out and see that the world is bigger than my environment. And I think that's necessary for you if you want to grow. You have to realize that the world is bigger than where you're from. Because there's a lot of people in Dallas who have never gotten out of Dallas. There's a lot of people who probably never even left. There's probably people in Oak Cliff who have never left Oak Cliff.
I've actually heard that often. That there's a lot of, you know, students that go to some of these schools like SOC and different high schools. And they're like, a lot of that, they ask the kids, have you ever been outside? Like, no, I haven't been outside of a 5-mile radius between this school and my house.
Yeah. So I realize it's a blessing because, you know, my family has been very fortunate enough to be able to give me experiences a lot of people probably aren't fortunate enough to have. So I would say that that's what's helped me. It's just I've been able to see that the world is bigger than where I'm from.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. So now, you know, with you doing the podcasting.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me, you with doing the award-winning podcasting.
Hey, you know, said it, not me, man.
Hey, I did say it. I did say, you know, shout out to Cosine Magazine, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Podcast of the year, you know. So, you know, with you having that in one area, then also with you producing films in another area,
mm-hmm.
and then also even with you acting yourself, like, how do you have time? Like, how was there time for you to do all of these things? And
have you heard, you know how people say, like, you know, if a woman says, "Oh, I'm focused on my career right now, so I'm not looking for a relationship." Ooh,
you just dropped that like that.
Yeah. you know, it's been proven that if you actually want to spend time with someone or actually be in a relationship, you will find time to make it work. Mm. And I'm and I use it as an analogy for this. If it's really what you want to do,
yeah.
People say there's not enough hours in the day. Oh. There's enough hours in the day if you actually want it to
If you want it to be, yeah.
You know, and so I actually make my time count. There's ways to stretch out a day and ways to stretch out a week to accommodate what you actually want to do.
Yeah.
You know, but it requires work. You know, a lot of people work 9-to-5s and then use that as an excuse. Man, I was tired. Or, man, you know, I didn't have the money to make it happen. Or, oh, you know, just it just wasn't in the cards for me. You know, making excuses for themselves.
So many excuses.
And that just kind of further shows me that it's not what you want to do, which is fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Which is fine. Yeah. If it's not, if being in this world is what you genuinely learn or realize you don't want to do, that's fine. I mean, you have to go through it to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But if this is actually what you want, if you actually want to be successful, you find the time. You just do. I don't really operate on excuses. Everything bad that's ever happened in my journey to get to where I want to go, I take full responsibility for. I don't blame anybody else for.
Oh.
Because one, it was meant to teach me something. Or two, there's probably a way I could have prevented it that I chose not to at the time. And that's typically how I feel everything happens for everybody. It's either something that was supposed to teach you something or something that you could have avoided but you chose not to. And so you just got to take that on the chin.
Mm, man. Okay. So with that, now I'm just curious. What has being in the film industry taught you?
It's taught me it's taught me, which is odd because most celebrities think they're like God's gift to the world. But actually being in the entertainment industry has taught me the opposite. It's taught me that I'm not special.
Ooh.
And what I mean by that is if I was to go to LA, because people say you should go to LA to do your film stuff.
Yeah.
You realize there's over 1 million people that want to do exactly what I want to do. You realize if I show up to an audition room, there's over 1,000 people in that same auditioning room that wants to do or go for it exactly what I want to go for. Because I want to be in the entertainment industry, that doesn't make me special. It doesn't make me better than anybody else.
Mm.
It's just something that I want to do.
Yeah.
So the film industry has taught me, it's humbled me because I remember in college, I had a theater director who was a psychopath. If you've ever watched the movie Whiplash and saw the head teacher character, that was my theater director. The man was psychotic. I've had chairs thrown at me.
Wow.
He's threatened to strangle me.
In theater?
Oh yeah.
We're not talking about athletic. We're talking about theater.
Theater. I've had major accidents happen on set and have to get up and keep going, or else something very bad would happen to me. You know, and by the end of that experience, he sat me down and he told me that you're one of the few people that have come through this program that I believe actually want to take this somewhere, that you actually want to do something with this one day. And you just need to learn now that there's somebody that's always wants your spot, and there's somebody that's always willing to do the things that you're not willing to do.
Mm.
Now, that's not saying let people walk over you or take from anybody. But it's just saying, like, understand that it's about what you provide and the work you put in.
Mm.
That's it. You know, I don't understand people who walk on a set with shades on and ask for a bowl of only green M&Ms. And
man,
like, I don't get that because
that's so crazy.
I don't get that because, you know, you could die. And you could die the same day as somebody who's a truck driver. And guess what? Both your caskets are going to look the same.
Mm.
You're both going into the same place.
Wow.
So I would say the entertainment industry has taught me to be humble, which is odd because it does a lot. It does the opposite for a lot of people.
Man.
You know, it's you know, but I would be lying if I said I was always humble. And like I was in high school and early in college, I was arrogant for like no reason. I don't understand where the arrogance came from, but I was very arrogant. I had to have my bubble burst a lot. But once it was, I kind of opened my eyes and realized like, oh, so, you know, I'm not very much different than this person next to me just because I may have a quality that they don't possess. Because they may have some, well, not made, but they have something that I don't have.
That's real.
I think everyone in the world has God level talent in something. And it's up to us to find out what it is while we're here.
Ooh.
And that's part of, I think that's part of the reason why we're on this earth is to figure out what our true purpose is. And what my purpose in life is not the same as somebody else's. What I'm good at is not going to be the same as the person next to me. But guess what? They can do something that I could never do.
Man.
One of my best friends is a physicist. I could never do what he does.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I could never do what he does.
You got it, boss.
Ever. Mm-hmm. He found an alternate way of battling cancer. I could never do that.
Kudos to him.
Yeah, I could never do that. But he can't do what I do. So it's like, what? So I'm better than him just because he can't act, or he's better than me just because I can't, you know, do what he does? No, we just have our things.
Yeah, have your own lane. I like that. Man. So I was listening to the other interview that you did with Hertz on Built for Anything.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Hertz. That's my guy.
Man, shout out to Hertz. But I was just listening to you talk about how you auditioned for Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
Listening to how you auditioned for Empire.
Yeah.
Man, and now you're sitting across from me, and I was just thinking, I was like, man, I can't say that I know anybody else who can say those things.
It's just a matter of, you know, they always tell you the main thing you hear in this business, well, not even just this business, but everywhere in every industry, it's not about what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing radio for 5 years, it allowed me to meet people that can get me in certain rooms that other people couldn't. That's all. And, I mean, it did only so much for me. I didn't get the parts. So, you know, it is what it is. But that's all it is, man. Another thing that humbles me is I realize that, you know, there's a lot of people that say, oh, I'm self-made and I did it. I got it out the mud. I did it myself, which is the dumbest thing
I got it out the mud.
You could ever say. Because when you say that, you demean every person that ever did anything to help put you in position. And it just, man. When I came to that realization, it kind of makes me sick when I hear people say that. You really put everyone down that ever did something. Like if you get out of your own head, you realize that there's people who do things for you in ways you could never possibly imagine. And you need to be more appreciative of those people. Man. You know, I'm gonna be all the way real here. There was point in time, like, I was extremely broke. I had like no money to my name. And the only thing that kept me afloat was I had a roommate, or I had two roommates who totally understood the dream I was trying to achieve and straight up said, we got you for rent for like the next few months. Don't even worry about it.
Wow.
And so it could be something like that. They never did anything in the entertainment industry to help me. They didn't like open any doors for me there, but they allowed me to eat. They allowed me to have a roof over my head for an extended amount of time because I couldn't provide for myself. I could, like, there was a point in time I almost couldn't do Live from the Underground anymore because of money issues. And I'm going to shout him out. Star, he was a rapper out here for a while.
Star Music, 214, well, not 214, it was just Star Music.
Star fronted me money. I never asked him for it, but he believed in what I was doing. He fronted me money. I've never said this publicly ever, but he fronted me money because I didn't have it to keep doing what I was doing. He just believed in what I was doing. That is something like I could never, that would be a slap in the face to Star, my roommates, my mom, anybody who actually helped me get to where I was if I couldn't be where I am if it wasn't for them. It's a slap in the face to say I'm self-made because I'm not. And then on top of that, if we want to be all the way real, God is the reason why we're doing anything. What do you mean you did it by yourself? I can name you multiple times. I know for a fact God blessed me to get to work to do anything. So what are we saying here? You know, like it's just something that just kind of irks me, man.
So you was just talking about Live from the Underground. Tell us about, for the people who don't know, the people who weren't around when Live from the Underground was popping off. Talk. Yeah. What is Live from the Underground?
Man, it's sad that there's people who weren't around for that, because that was a magical time, man. So from 2011 to 2016, I did a radio show called Live from the Underground. Now, it was mainly serviced for the Dallas underground hip hop scene. We also, every now and then, we had major artists. So a lot of artists we caught before they blew up. So, like, mm-hmm. we've had Kendrick Lamar on the show. We've had Chance the Rapper, Logic, Tory Lanez, Goodness. Travis Scott, KC Veggies, a few members of iFuture. We helped put together shows that had Drake on them, T.I., Rick Ross. The list goes on and on, man. Those are just the main. Oh, we interviewed Joey Badass, SZA, you know, all kinds of, basically anybody in hip hop from 2011 to 2016. We probably had a hand in working with, interviewing, being around, gotcha. Anything like that. I could give you a crazy story on pretty much anybody if you ask off the air, because I would never.
Never mind. I had a question. We might need to talk about it. Off
what?
Well, I thought there was something that happened between you. I'm not sure if it was you and Travis Scott.
Yeah, that was. I'm willing to tell that one because I've already said that story. So, yeah, me and Travis Scott almost got into it. And it sucks because I like his music. So when I hear it, so I got to get past my personal feelings about him every time one of his records come on, because the dude makes good music. But yeah, it was early on in his career, though. It was it was like 2013. So this is before he was like. Huge.
Yeah, because he's, man, I don't know.
Yeah,
what
he's
happened.
Out of this world now.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
But he just, we were backstage at a show, and I was there, and this is how you know he wasn't big yet. He was the opening act for KC Veggies.
Oh. Is KC Veggies still doing music?
I don't know what he's doing. Wow. But at the time, this is 2013, so at the time, KC Veggies was pretty big.
Yeah.
On the underground hip-hop circuit. And so Travis Scott was on tour opening for him. So KC Veggies at the time was represented by Roc Nation, and so I got approved by Roc Nation to interview him for the show, right? And so I was backstage, I was getting my camera set up, ready to interview KC Veggies, and then Travis Scott walks in. And at this time, I didn't even know what he looked like, because you know, at the time, if you remember, Travis Scott used to have this little thing over his mouth. I don't even know.
You had that Mortal Kombat situation.
Yeah, I didn't even know what Travis Scott looked like at this point in time. So he walks right over to me and says, "Hey, don't you effing film me, all right?" And I was like, "Bro, I don't even know who you are." Like, I'm here for Casey's Veggies. Who are you? And he was like, "Well, I'm Travis Scott." I was like, "All right, cool. I'm not here for you, though. I'm here for KC Veggies. You don't have to worry. I'm not filming you." And it gets kind of escalated from there throughout the night. And it got to a point at the end of the night, he kind of like, he put his hands on me.
Oh, no.
And I'm a nice guy. I don't really get into confrontation like that. If you know me, like me, this story sounds crazy to you because you're like, "What?" But I operate off respect. And if I've done nothing to disrespect you, I tend to have the notion that you should not be disrespectful towards me either. So I kind of don't take the opposite very well.
That's fair.
So I lost it, and punches were thrown, and the security had to break it up.
Oh, wow.
And so, and like I said, it sucks because he got some records that I love. You know, but that's just one. Like, I don't say them publicly, but there's three other rappers I almost got into it with.
Oh, we can talk about that off air.
Yeah, we'll talk about it off air. But the rest, all the other ones I mentioned, nothing but positivity, nothing but great things. Like, so don't think that this is just the thing that happens to Jay Will, because it doesn't. Like, my ratio is like 200 to 4. Like, you know,
wow,
so
that's ridiculous.
So it's like, yeah. So I don't cause problems. It doesn't find me. It's just these are random happenstances.
So you got the 200 people on one side that's cool, and you got the 4 people that want the whole bowl of green M&M's.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's it. So I'm gonna tell that one because I've said it on air before anyway. So it'd be crazy for me to like hide it.
Man. Okay. Well, I'm gonna hop around because I want to ask this because I know we talked about it off air before, and you know you're talking about, you're from Big Springs. You're talking about just the mindset and just how a lot of people don't make it out of Big Springs.
Yeah.
What was it like when your director or your The teacher that reached out to you and said, come back and talk to the kids.
Oh, yeah, that was my high school theater director.
Yeah. Talk about that.
She was like a mother to me growing up, man. She was, I started doing theater at 10 years old, but I didn't take it seriously until I got to high school. I loved it, and it was something I wanted to be more involved in, but, you know, it wasn't something that I actually thought I could pull off.
Yeah.
But when I got to high school, well, it wasn't even high school. She saw me do a play in junior high, and she was like, there's something special about him. I don't know what it is yet, but there's something special about him.
In junior high, yeah.
And so when I got to high school, she kind of brought me in as one of her own. Like, she said, there's something about you that's special, and I know that you could be something great. So she kind of gave, there was like a select group of people in theater in high school that she gave extra attention to, extra, like, you know, support and love to, because she saw something in us. And I was one of those people. And she helped me realize my full potential and helped me get to a place where I felt like this is actually something that I could do one day. And she stopped being the theater director at my high school for a few years, but she recently came back, and they were about to go to competition. And she thought it would be cool to have someone come back and speak to the kids, kind of encourage them. So she invited me, and it was a very humbling experience for me. If you were to ask me in high school, I actually always dreamed of getting invited back to my high school to speak one day. Like, that was always something I wanted to do. Yeah. It wasn't something that I, like, said all out loud, like, oh, you know, I'm going to come back to my high school one day. But it was something innately in the back of my head. I was like, I would like to do that one day. And I came back, and it was cool because it wasn't just, I thought it was just going to be the theater kids, but it ended up being, like, the principal, who was actually the principal when I was there.
Oh, wow.
He came and, like, spoke on my behalf and said, like, Josh was always one of the best students He always had such positive energy. He was always really, he just says these really great and positive things about me, you know. And then there was other people who showed up. And it helped me realize that I made more of an impact during my time in high school than I initially thought I did. So it was really great to have that experience. I'm actually getting to speak to some elementary kids this upcoming week.
Jay Wood, a motivational speaker. If you're trying to book him, just hit me. DM me.
You the one that told me to start speaking more.
I told you you're gonna
Jonathan,
speak.
Jonathan was the one that told me you should go out and speak more.
You need to. You really need Jay Wood, a motivational speaker. If you want to book him, just send me a DM. We'll get it set up.
Hey, I mean, I'm all for it. You doing TED Talks and stuff. I need to get on your level, bro.
Hey, man. Hey, I'm just saying. But, like, just hearing you say that as a child, you said you wanted to come back to your school.
Yeah.
And then now we're sitting in the studio, and you said you were talking about service. Your purpose is service. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, no, that is true. That is crazy. I don't know, man. I just throughout my life, I've always been better at assisting than being self-centered. Every time it's weird now that I'm focusing on myself. The only reason I focus on myself now is because I've tried so hard to help others. And you should never be in a position where you care more about someone succeeding than they care about themselves succeeding.
Oh, yeah.
Most definitely. Once it gets to that place, there's only so many times you can do that before it's like, I'm wasting my time here. Half the energy I'm putting into all of these people into myself, I'll be all right.
Yeah. But even with you saying that, though, I'm sitting there thinking, because you said you said it almost feels awkward or funny for you to focus on you, but it's still crazy because you focusing on you is still serving other people through the projects you're doing, through what you're getting ready to produce, and through everything else that you're cooking up in this pot of gumbo that you got over here. So I think that's still just beyond amazing and just awesome. Just to see, and now, since I already know, I'm curious what do goals look like for Jay Will? Like what does Jay Will want to, you know, because you executive produced and acted in, you did the miniseries,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Matters
okay,
of the
check,
Heart.
We can check that box, okay, yeah. Cool. You got the Cosign Awards. I don't know if that was a box,
but it was, definitely was, especially after we lost the first year, but
man, check. And I mean, the competition was stiff, and
it
that
was
category,
shout bruh, out to Millennial Love, bro.
That competition was stiff in that category, bro.
It was,
we'll put a check in that box. So what else is there for you to do? Like, what does that
mean?
Man, look like?
I'm gonna be honest with you, and I don't wanna sound like egotistical when I say this, but those are like a drop in a bucket compared to the goals I have for myself. Like that's nothing compared to what I have in mind for myself. I plan on being, I say this all the time, and I speak it into existence. I plan on being an EGOT recipient one day.
Break it down.
EGOT recipient is someone who has an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. Only, I think, less than 30 people in history have that.
Lord.
Only two black people have it, and that's John Legend and Oprah. And Common is one award away from getting it. He has an Emmy, a Grammy, and an Oscar. He needs a Tony, and then he has it. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people say, like, and I 100% agree, like, awards don't define success. They don't define how great you are. Nothing like that. And I don't look at it like that. I don't look at it as I won't be great unless I get these things.
Yeah.
It's just a benchmark for me. It's something that I would like to obtain.
Yeah.
It's something that I've set for myself because I believe in myself enough to know, like, I want to be the best. And so the best to me says someone who can get these things.
That's fair.
And that's just something that helps push me. If I don't, if I end up not getting them one day, I'm not going to be on my deathbed like I failed myself. But yeah, I would like to get it. There's nothing wrong with wanting to achieve certain things. So there's that. I plan on every movie that I put out myself hitting at least $50 million at the box office. So a goal of mine is no matter what movie I put out myself, like I'll star in movies if they don't do so well, whatever. You know, indie films typically don't do that well. But if I'm putting a movie out, if I write it or produce it or direct it, I want to get at least $50 million per movie at the box office. I want to be able to be that consistent. I want to be able to help. I want to be able to help bring. I mean, if somebody else does it, I don't care. But I would like to help end world hunger in a sense. That's always something that's been been a big deal to me. I have a lot of ways that I think it could happen, but world hunger has always been an issue of mine. I've been behind getting fixed. And also, I want to be able to help any and all people to be able to get an education. I didn't finish college, and I encourage anybody who can go to college to go. You know, I don't think if it's going to bankrupt you or something, like if you can find a way around that, I would do that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't have the opportunity to, you know, finances alone, or they don't want to throw themselves into the student loan ring, which is understandable.
Yeah.
You know, but and if you don't want to go, you don't want to go. I'm not saying everyone has to go to school, but if you can go to school, I would like people to get the opportunity to do so. There would be no Live from the Underground if I didn't go to college. Period. I wouldn't have garnered the knowledge I needed to succeed in this business if I didn't go to college. Even though I didn't finish, I got enough to move forward with it.
Yeah.
And so I think if you're able to get an education, I advise people to go. And if you're not able to get an education because of finances, I would like to help fix that.
Man. Jay, well, I'm gonna have to keep you in my pocket or something, man. You inspire me. You inspire me.
It's just, you know, just things in my life growing up that have affected me. You know, every time I see someone on the street that needs a dollar, and I don't really carry cash, and I can't give them at least a dollar, a part of me kind of dies inside. I cry a bit inside because of that. You know, I don't know what it is. That's always affected me. Ever since I was a kid, that's always affected me. And I've been fortunate enough to never, like, I don't know what the hood looks like. I've never had to live in the hood. I've always been, you know, suburb kid. You know, my family didn't have everything, but they had enough for us to get by and succeed. And, you know, I empathize with people who haven't been able to get the opportunities I've been given. It's always affected me. Always. Like this, it's like being the kid in the classroom that is able to eat every day, and there's kids who are figuring it out. Like, that breaks my heart. You know what I'm saying? And those things are causes that drive me. So past just being a great entertainer, I want to be able to actually help people. I want to be able to actually benefit society, because these are things that actually, you know, affect me.
Mm. Man, that's super.
And I don't really talk about that much, so you got that out of me. So
you was just pouring. You was pouring. I'm just here.
You know? I mean, one thing that's happened to me now that I'm older. I turned 28 on Wednesday.
Oh,
so I'm not old. I'm not that old, but I am getting older.
Okay.
I'm way more in touch with my emotions. And I don't really shy away from that. I kind of tap into it to utilize it. Because the world needs people to be more empathetic and sympathetic and more willing to help each other out. The world needs that.
Yeah.
Now more than ever.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because people will walk over you and say, oh, well, that's not my problem.
Uh-uh. Yeah. No, like I'm fully aware of the blessings God has placed in my life, and I'm fully aware that not everybody is able to have those.
Man. You said a lot there, and that's all true. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. But like I said, I'm going to keep you close, J. Will, because if I need a motivational message, I'm going to say, J. Will, send me something real quick.
I mean, because we had a nice little talk about love and relationships, too, last time we talked.
Oh, man. No, don't open that can of worms, hey, unless you want
to
go
there. I mean, I'm willing to go there if you are. Hey, I don't care. I don't really get bothered by that.
Oh, man. No, I mean, I think that's something that does need to be said, though. Just like love and relationships, man, that's a hot buzz topic anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Just because everybody wants love.
Everybody wants it.
Everybody wants to be appreciated. Everybody wants to know that somebody's thinking about them at some point in time.
Oh yeah. It's as much as people say I don't need a man or I don't need a woman, that's BS. In my opinion, it's BS. Now you don't need to depend, like don't take advantage of that person and like depend and have everything dependent on that person. But if what do you think happens to people in solitary confinement?
Dude, I watched this, man. Have you seen that Khalif Browder special?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
People go crazy.
They go crazy
in solitary confinement because you've taken them away from society. You've taken them away from human connection, which is something we all need, or else you drive yourself crazy.
I've even heard it said that as babies, if we don't have that touch, then the baby can die. I need to fact check on that.
Yeah.
But I've heard that been said before, and I can believe it, because babies a lot of times are crying, different things like that. But then when they get brought close to the mom and they feel that body heat, they feel that warmth, then they're like, oh, okay, I'm soothed. I'm good.
What do you think happens to people? Like, we all knew kids in high school that didn't have a lot of friends, and what that did to them. They still have psychological things. They have traumatic experiences from that. I've had traumatic experiences from things like that.
Yeah.
You know, I've just been blessed enough to kind of get out of it. But I still have triggers from things that happened to me when I was younger. Still to this day. So I can only imagine what it's like for someone who didn't have any friends, or like didn't have any girlfriends growing up, or didn't have any type of connection with people outside of maybe their parents.
Oh my goodness.
You know, like, I empathize with those people. So when people say, I don't need nobody, you're full of it.
Yeah, you know, you've been hurt. Who hurt you?
And that's what you, I mean, I know that's a joke, but like, you as a person need to take the time to figure out. Who hurt you, how it affected you, and how can you overcome it? Because I'm all about I've told you. Yeah. I know what my triggers are.
Yeah.
And I'm actively working to overcome those. It's an everyday process.
Man, yeah. That's so real. Because if you don't identify your triggers, you're going to walk around just going off on people, snapping on people.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I don't know what happened. No, we need to figure it out.
Yeah, that's why I think therapy is a good thing for people if you can afford it. I can't afford it. So I've done the cheap option and figuring out my own issues. I sit alone and I really evaluate things.
Well, I mean, but that's something also that I think is either it's not valued or it's not accessed enough. Just taking time, not watching TV, not being on your phone, not being on Instagram, Twitter, social media, but just sitting there with yourself and just processing certain areas of your life. Because, I mean, we all have certain areas, certain bad habits, certain hiccups, certain hangups that we know, one, we need to improve, or there's work that needs to be done there. But are we ignorant to it, or do we?
Well, a lot of people don't want to accept that they're the problem. And a lot of times, we're the reason we have issues in our lives.
Man.
Again, it could be things we bring on ourselves or things we choose to not avoid, even though we know it could be detrimental to us. How many times you've seen you had a homegirl that's with a dude that you know ain't no good, and she knows he isn't any good, but she's just waiting to see.
Oh, man.
Or how many of your homeboys you seen with a girl, he's like, man, you do not need to be with her. But he's just like, nah, man, you know, it is what it is.
But I think that's even one of those things. Like, yeah, there's the piece that we know that we're the problem. But then there's also the place that as humans, and this can apply, and you can play it wherever, but you can apply this in career, you can apply this in relationship, but we just get caught up like in that lazy river, just going around, mm-hmm. just cruising in life. We're not going all the way in because I might fail. But then at the same time, but I'm not doing as bad as this person over here, so I'm just going to take it easy. And I'm going to coast right here. I'm going to coast in this relationship. I'm going to coast at this mm-hmm. job. I'm going to coast with my goals because it's safe.
Yeah. And you have no one to blame for yourself but you when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to take the blame on themselves. I know exactly what blame I to cast on myself for things. And I do that because it pushes me not to make that mistake again.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? I'm working on this too. But my thing used to be self-deprecating humor. You know, if you look at matters of the heart, it's nothing but self-deprecating humor. It's nothing but like making fun of myself before anybody else can.
Yeah.
And I used to think that was a good thing. And to an extent, it can be. But I've learned that no one else curses you but yourself. If you say, even if you're making a joke, oh, I can't get no, like, don't girls want me. Who said that? You said that. No one else said that. You did. You put that on yourself. We didn't say that.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? You curse yourself. So, like, I'm even careful of doing self-deprecating humor to an extent. Because it's like, I'm putting those things on myself now. Yeah. And I don't want to be the reason I don't succeed in life. I don't want to be the reason I don't get certain things. That's the worst thing. If you're the reason you didn't get something,
if you were blocking yourself from your own goals.
Yeah, blocking yourself from your own blessings, like, that's solitary confinement, bro.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Man.
And nobody wants to swallow that. Nobody wants to be 40, 50 years old and realize they're the reason why they didn't achieve their dreams.
Man, I can't remember where I was, but I was doing a presentation. I was challenging people. I said, at the end of your life, I said, one of the reasons why I'm so motivated and so driven to do what I do is because I don't want anybody to be their biggest regret.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to ask you, like, what did you want to achieve in life? Why weren't you able to come? I just didn't follow through. I just didn't follow up. I just didn't go after it. Why?
You letting people off the hook, because I don't know anybody who would actually say that. They're going to say, oh, man, you know, I could have did it, but this happened, and this person did this, and it went to this person. It didn't go to me. So, you know, they want to give a real one. You know, they want to give a real one the opportunity to succeed. That's what you're going to hear. You're not going to hear, like, I got in my own way. Man. I didn't fully go after this opportunity.
Bruh,
I was too afraid to make this thing happen.
I'm not here for excuses. Like, I hate when people make excuses. Or, like, if you give somebody the opportunity, like, hey, you mind doing this for me? Like, oh, I don't know how to do it. Have you tried first? Oh, no, I just don't know how to do it. Are you going to try? Like, what's up?
Man, there's such thing as YouTube University, man. Anything you can't do, you can learn to do. But again, it goes into, like, if they want to do it. I don't want anybody to do something for me that they do not want to do, because then it's going to be half, you know. halfway. It's not going to be. And I had someone say to me years ago, she's one of my best friends, love her like a sister. And we used to do a lot of work together.
Yeah.
She came to me one day and said, "I can't work with you anymore." And I said, "Why?" She said, "You're so intense and you work so and you care so much about what you do. If someone around you isn't as dedicated and committed to you, it's kind of intimidating and I don't want to let you down, and I know I'm going to. So I'm taking myself away from the situation before it gets worse." And I was like, "Dang, I didn't realize I was that, you know, intense." But it's not that I was that intense. It was that, you know, when you see me, you know I care about what I'm doing.
You got that standard, yeah.
And it's like a woman who got everything together, right? I'm gonna tell you something, women. Follow me on this, and this is no BS. Most women who got it all together, most women who are actually doing really well in life, don't get approached by a lot of men. You want to know why? Because a lot of men that approach these women in public places ain't got it together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you as a woman who got it together are presenting yourself that way, and they know that you ain't going to take that from them.
Yeah.
So why waste their time? They're going to go for the girl over in the corner half drunk, or the girl in the corner who kind of emits the type of energy that I can probably like play with her a bit. If a girl walking around with that energy of like you can't play with me, you're not gonna get approached like that.
Mm-mm.
And that's kind of how I look at it with me. It's like, you know where I'm at when you see me. When you see me out, when you see me working on something, or you see me in the midst of making something happen, you know what I'm about. So you know you can't come over me unprepared or not serious.
Man,
I will chew you up and spit you out.
Oh.
Like one of my biggest influences is my favorite movie of all time is Singing in the Rain.
Okay.
If you haven't watched it, if you're not a musical person, you don't have to watch it. It's fine. Just look it up. Just look it up and look up Gene Kelly. Gene Kelly is one of my main inspirations. You know what they used to say about Gene Kelly back in the day?
Mm-mm.
When they would find out, oh, okay, so who's doing the movie? So, oh, it's so-and-so. Okay, so-and-so. Okay, Gene Kelly. Ah. So I'm actually going to have to work.
That's what the people... Oh,
that's
wow.
That's what they would say about Gene Kelly. Dang, I'm actually going to have to work.
Oh, man.
Because Gene Kelly, he exuded perfection. He exuded professionalism. And everyone around him knew, dang, if I got to be on set with him, I got to go 10 times harder.
Mm.
That's what I want to represent. Don't even come around me if you can't even match me.
Mm. Man. Okay, J. Will.
that's just how I am, you know.
Man, okay, man. We're gonna transition, man. I might have to get you back on the show, J. Will.
Anytime you want me, man.
Might have to do it again, but we're gonna transition now because I really can appreciate your passion. I can appreciate your confidence and just everything that you exude. So now we're gonna transition to what I like to call five words.
Okay.
And now I want to give you the opportunity to describe yourself in five words.
Whew. Okay. Five words. I would say God first, those are the first two. God first, God comes first, service after.
Oh, I like how you did that. Yeah. Okay.
God comes first, service after. You know, everything I do in my life, I do my best. I'm not perfect. I do my best to put God first. I don't always do it. but I strive to try and do that. And then everything else is a service. Because those two things get me out of bed every morning. And if I don't have those two things, it's kind of like I'm already dead inside. If I'm not walking with God, and if I'm not walking with purpose or service towards others, or what service towards what I'm trying to accomplish with life, it's a sad day when you see me laying in bed with nothing to do that day. It's a sad day.
Mm.
It's a really sad day. I don't like those days.
Man, Jay, well, I need to get my life jacket. You went deep there, brother. you went deep. Let me get my life jacket.
Nah, I mean, and it's weird. Like I mean, I know the things that I like to do for fun, but it's very minimal. Like I'm not an extravagant person. Like the happiest place in the world for me to be is a movie theater.
Mm.
I've actually had days where I've bought like three or four movie tickets and spent all day in a movie theater where I go from one theater to the next to the next to the next, just spent all day in a movie theater. Like that's my happy place.
Why didn't you just buy one ticket and just?
No, it's like, no, but it's to multiple movies in the theater.
No, I know. I was talking about why you didn't just buy one and just hop in a different theater.
Because that's
support the arts.
Yeah, I'm about to say support the arts. Yeah. I'm trying to be in this industry. I would hate for somebody to do that to my film.
Say, hold on, wait. Jay Will got four movies going on. Let me just see. Oh,
you bought a ticket to Avengers 15, and then afterwards you just sneak into mine. Nah, man. They don't need that money. I do. So I'm very like, it's very easy, you know. I'm very simple, man. I'm really simple. Like I feel boring when people ask me what I like to do for fun, because I'm like, man,
be on the set.
You know, working, like, this is fun to me. This is fun to me.
Bro, you speaking my language now, because people ask me, like, because I feel I'm in the same vein with you on that. I feel I'm pretty simple. But then when it comes to spending money to invest in podcast equipment, then I'm like, okay, yeah, that's where I want to spend money there.
Yeah.
Or I'll spend money here. But when it comes to, like, what do you do for fun? Speaking. What's your career? Speaking.
Yeah, like.
And I'm fine with it. I don't feel no type
If what
of
you do for a living isn't what you do for fun, your main goal should be trying to get to that place.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
That's just how I feel.
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, everybody can't be blessed enough to do that. So.
Yeah, no, and it's just and you know, success means different things to different people, man. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of friends back home whose success to them is they have a good job that pays them and they can take and provide for themselves and their family. They got a nice house that they live in, a nice car that they drive in.
Yeah.
They come home to their wife or girlfriend and kids and then go and do it the same thing the next day. Those people are actually 10 times happier than we are.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So I don't fault people for that. Success is totally different in different ways.
Yeah, but I don't even know if I'd say they're happier though. Well, they could be. I mean,
if it's what they want to do, I would say because we're chasing something.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. There, you're right.
We're
you're
chasing
right
something. Yeah, we're like we're right. Not there yet. Mm-hmm. They're there. They've won. They got the championship. It's in their hands. They get to come home and look at it every day. You know what I'm saying?
Now we're gonna transition to Winner's Circle. Now we're gonna go to the Winner's Circle of the Week. And like I was telling you before, man, the Winner's Circle of the Week is just somebody who you've seen in the city, somebody where you just want to tip your hat to them and say, just keep going. I see you keep grinding, even though they might not be celebrated just yet. But this is somebody you've noticed that is out here working. Who is your Winner's Circle of the Week, Mr. J. Will?
Becky the Poet.
Okay.
Yeah, no, like, I don't say it enough, man. I actually admire Becky.
Yeah.
I do. I admire Becky. She's one of the reasons why I work harder at making my podcast better, because she goes all out to get the word out for what she wants to do, man. And to express herself.
Yes.
And not even for her to be seen, but for others to be seen.
Yeah.
You know, I actually admire Becky a lot, and I know she has an event coming up, Snap Volume 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't really talk to Becky as much, but Becky every now and then would check on me, you know what I'm saying? And she goes out of her way to make sure other people are good. So I would say Becky's in the winner's circle for me.
Yeah, man, I definitely couldn't agree with you more, because I told her the other day, I was like, Becky, you out here really getting it.
And I want to make sure she hears this too, because I definitely do. Like, I don't tell her that enough, but I do admire her.
Yeah, and she's one of those people who, like, she touches. Like, I see her on social media, and she, like, she's super supportive.
Yeah.
And she's like a cheerleader of all cheerleaders, and then she's still in the game doing her thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, she's like Icebox on Little Giants.
Mm.
You've seen Little Giants.
One of my favorite movies as a kid.
Okay, I'm glad I don't know how I got that, but I
one
dropped it.
One of my favorite movies.
Because, you know, she out here cheering, but then she get in the game, and she about that action, boss. So, yeah, man, that's definitely Becky, though. That's because she helped me get my portable podcast situation set up.
Okay.
So, yeah,
see, there you
I
go.
Can't, she's, yeah, no, no, I have to. Every time I get the chance, I'd be like, Becky, I appreciate
I know she
you.
Doesn't feel like she's doing enough, but she is making an impact. So shout out to Becky.
Yeah, well, and I think the reason why she might not, and this isn't me speaking anything about her or nothing like that, but I think it's just like we're talking about before, because she's creating a platform from scratch where there was no platform.
True.
And she's building something for poets, for artists, mixed with self-care, creating a safe space for individuals where there isn't one.
True. Very
so,
true.
You know, she's like the architect building all of this, you know, this amazing construction. So, man, Becky, you win a circle of the week.
Yeah, real talk.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Okay. So we almost about to wrap it up, but now we got to have a little fun.
Okay.
Can't do all work, no play.
Yeah.
So now I have just a few questions I want to ask you, Jay. We're going to transition into our this or that segment.
Okay.
And it goes like this. I'm going to give you two options, and then you say one or you say the other.
Okay.
Okay. So here we go. We're going to go ahead and get to it. Jay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Beaches or mountains?
Beaches.
Life of the party, please no party.
Life of the party.
Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Books or movies?
Movies.
Saver or spender?
Saver.
Home cooking, ain't cooking?
Home cooking.
Night owl, early bird?
Early bird.
Work hard, play hard?
work hard.
And that right there is just how this or that go. It was quick.
Yeah, that was good. I was nervous. I was like, I don't want to say the right thing.
Yeah. That's so funny. Okay, and that, now, man, and now, Jay Will, before we let you get out of here, I want you first to just say where people can find you and where they can connect with you. If y'all haven't seen Matters of the Heart, go on YouTube and check out that series. I was at the premiere and I loved it. Seeing your name on the marquee,
that was
too,
dope, right?
Like that was super dope. I was like, man,
I need to get that picture printed out, put in my apartment somewhere.
Oh yeah,
like,
you
that
playing?
Would be dope.
Yeah, you gotta have that.
But you can find me all social media, Jay Will ETC. It's J A Y W I L E T C. He mentioned Matters of the Heart, but there's a lot more things coming that are better in my mind. But the podcast is Don't Take It Personal. You can listen to that every week. You can find it, if you go on my social media, you'll be able to find it. Also, I'm the film and TV editor for Cosign, so a lot of my articles that I write, you can find them on social media as well. So, yeah.
Dope. Well, you said that, and before I give you the opportunity to say your final thought, I just want to just shout out Cosign Magazine, because
sure,
I know we was on the scene around the same time. Man, shout out VA to Gray.
For sure.
Shout out Quentin. With
legendary stories
group
during that time frame.
Oh, my
man.
Goodness.
Legendary stories.
Man, Quentin, James, Cameron, all those guys who were with Nile, because that was when I first came on the scene. That was when I, like, met you.
Yeah, that's when we met.
Yeah. So, man, shout out to everybody who was around during that time. When Profit Bar was,
ew,
when
man,
it was,
man,
it,
we need a documentary about, man, that time frame, like 2012 Lord, to like 2015 or something, 2011 to like 2015, man. We need like a documentary of that, because those are good times.
KG, you heard it. We need a documentary. We need another one. All right. Now, Jay Will, now I'm gonna go ahead and give it to you, man. Let you go ahead and say your final thought, and we're gonna go ahead and get out of here.
Final thought, I would just say life is short. Find something that makes you happy, whatever that may be, and don't let anybody keep you from that.
Man, life is short. Find what makes you happy. There it is, from the award-winning podcast of the year, from the executive producer extraordinaire,
indeed,
from the actor,
yes,
and from, you're gonna hear it first, from the EGOT recipient.
Thank you, brother.
In the building.
It's on my vision board and everything. I'm getting that mug.
There it is. Well, this is Jonathan Jones, and we're gonna go ahead and just log out. I would encourage you to take time and write a review if you enjoyed the information, if you enjoyed the content. First subscribe, but then go on Apple, write a review, give us 5 stars if you enjoy it, and you can connect with me on jonathanjonespeaks.com/podcast. That's where this is, and until next time, we're reminding you to speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you want to live any other way? That's a wrap.